We're going to be in the book of Acts. I like to see this. It's called Acts Facts, and it's not that little duck, neither. It's the advertising insurance. This is Acts Facts. The book of Acts sometimes is called the filth gospel. It's a continuation of the gospel of Luke, which he wrote, and also the writer here in Luke. The last recorded fact about Jesus in the gospel of Matthew is a resurrection, which is recorded in Acts chapter 1. In the gospel of Mark, the last recorded act of Jesus is the ascension, which is also recorded in Acts chapter 1. In the Gospel of Luke, the last recorded fact is the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's also in Acts chapter 1. And also, we find in Acts the great missionary commission, which appears in all the four Gospels and is confirmed in the book of Acts. The book of Acts records the beginning of the church, the birth of the church. And it's kind of like the gospel, all four gospels, is kind of like poured together, and it comes out in the book of Acts. So Acts has a lot of information in it. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. We're going to be talking about Philip, a soul winner. We'll see that we're tonight, today, as we're reading this, we'll see in chapter 8 where he is a soul winner. We'll see where Philip was a man. He was full of the Holy Ghost in chapter 6. And Philip was an evangelist also in Acts chapter 21. He was an obedient and faithful preacher to his God. Philip was at Samaria at this time. He was having a great revival. I'll give you a little bit before we get into it. And many there at that revival had got saved. It was just a great harvest field for Philip at that time. See, Philip was among those who had left Jerusalem because of severe persecution. After Christ had ascended there in Acts chapter 1, the Christian in Jerusalem at this time, and there was quite a few of them, there was a man named Stephen who witnessed to a Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, he was the supreme religious courts there at that time of the Jewish people. And because this happened, there was a great threat against all of the Christians. So they started killing the Christians, and they started jailing them, throwing them in jail. They started running at this time from Jerusalem because of this great threat. Now, which was a good thing. If you look at it now, it was a good thing because the Christians scattered at that time. So in the book of Acts, we have three great conversions. In chapter 8, we have the Ethiopian eunuch that was saved. I believe he was from the family of Ham. And if you go back to Noah and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, you'll see this. And then in chapter 9, we have Saul, which was a Jew, which was from the Shem tribe. And then in chapter 10, we have Cornelius, the Roman here at this time, which was saved. And I believe this was from Japheth, the Gentile side. So we have all of these things that are happening just in the book of Acts. And you'll notice now when we see these conversions at this time, there's three factors that we will see that is brought out that focus on, because before there can be a conversion, these things have to happen. They all three have to be present. The first one is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved Philip at this time to Samaria when he was there in the previous, where we're going to start in a few minutes. And the Holy Spirit had moved Philip at this time to go to Samaria and will guide him at that time from Samaria. He would guide him to this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, if sometimes God does, God guides us to a person to witness to. I mean, that has happened in all of our lives. But you know, when God does do that, as he is moving Philip at this time to go, before we go and talk to that person about Jesus, we need to talk to the Lord about that person first before we talk to that person about the Lord. And when we do that, then we'll be led by the Spirit, and we'll see that in this, we'll see also that we'll need the Word of God. We'll need the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this will reveal the things of Christ to him. Now, what we need the Spirit of God, we need the Word of God, and we need the person or the man of God to deliver the message. The Spirit of God uses a man of God who delivers the Word of God to produce the Son of God. All of that. Now, as we start a lesson, we may learn from the book of Acts also ourselves how to be a soul winner as by looking at Philip. And we'll learn how to, or should learn how to obey the Holy Spirit and not to grieve him. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And that's the stepping stone of getting to where we're going to be at. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah, the prophet," that's Isaiah. "And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Father, we come to you this night. We come praying that we may uplift your name and glorify you this night. And as we go through the scriptures, help us, Father, that the Holy Spirit will apply to our hearts and give us understanding of what is said so that you may receive the glory. And Father, we just ask that you'll be with us now. We ask that you'll bless our family, our pastor and his family as they're down in Disney, that you'll watch over them and guide them and give them good weather, Father, and bring them back to us this week. And we may have a great day in the Lord on Sunday. Father, we just thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. We can see here in verse 26 now, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." It pays to have our life right with God so that when the Spirit of God wants to speak to us, he say, "Hey, there's a willing person right there. I'll go to him." We see here now it was the angel of the Lord that spake to Philip. And then we'll see that in verse 29, the Holy Spirit begins to work in verse 29 and take the lead. Now, and it says, "And the angel." You know, God could have gave that angel power to tow that person in that carriage how to be saved. He could have done that. But he didn't. That's our jobs. As people, that's what God wants us to do. It would be hard for an angel to tell you how to get saved when he has never experienced it itself. They don't know what sin is the way we know it. They know the destruction it brings. But see, God put that in our charge. You're mine. We're responsible for that part there. But the angel said to Philip, "Arise." And he begins to give Philip at this time directions. He said, "I want you to go towards the south." That sounds pretty good tonight, don't it? Head way down south. You'd have to go past Florida, though, I guess. But he says, "Go to the south and to the way that goeth up into Jerusalem, into Gaza, which is desert." Now look what's happening at this time. Philip is at Samaria having a great revival. People are getting saved everywhere. And look over at verse 5 of chapter 8 and show you what was going on there. "Therefore, they were scattered abroad." And verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that was possessed with him, many taken with palsy, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." These people was having a revival. Philip was doing something great. And now all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes to Philip and says, "Philip, I want you to leave this place here." And Philip's probably thinking in his mind, "Man, we just had a great revival here. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next." And we see that the angel's going to speak to him, and he's going to tell him. He said, I want you to leave here. I want you to go down to Jerusalem, through Jerusalem, into Gaza, which is desert. Philip, I want you to go to the desert. Philip's saying, to the desert. Lord, I don't know. Maybe I'm not hearing you right today. We're having a good time here. I think I'm doing all right here. Why can't I stay here? Because great things are happening. Well, see, God can see past what we see, and he knew something else that was going to happen that was even going to be greater. And therefore, that's why when God asks us to do something, we don't try to get our old self in the way, because we can get ourselves in the way a lot of times. I know that because I can testify to that myself. So Philip would have to pack up, go through Jerusalem, and take the route outside of Jerusalem towards the south into Egypt, into the Ethiopian, which is called the Gaza Strip now. And Philip had been having a great time. But Philip obeys what God asked him to do. And you know, when he gets there, Philip's probably thinking in his mind, what am I going to find there other than some snakes and some critters? Well, what's going to be in the desert? But he knew God well enough that when God said to do something, there was a purpose behind it. And when we learn that whatever God asks us to do, even if we don't think we can do it, you need to do it. Something seems to be way out there that it seems impossible. But that's when God really likes to use us. Because, you know, when it seems impossible with us, we have to walk totally by faith on what he's telling us to do and follow his lead, because we don't know where we're going. Just like Abraham when he packed up and said, okay, where are we going? And by faith he left. And I think that's what is happening here with Philip. When he gets there, he knows that God is going to be there. He knows that already, because he's going to be asking for some different directions when he gets there. And so verse 27, it says, Philip arose and went. When he gets there, there's going to be a man of the Ethiopian, a eunuch. Now, a eunuch, everybody knows what a eunuch is. There's some children here, I won't say what it is. But also, this eunuch is one that would watch over the king's wives and his extra women that he had. They was also was used in confidential offices. They was like counselors of the state, and that's what the purpose was here. The eunuch at this time, he had great authority. Now, when we're thinking about just a eunuch, we're not talking about one person that's in the desert. I think there's going to be a caravan that's there, and there's more than one person, because this person here, this eunuch, he had charge of all of the treasures of the queen, Kenneth's queen's, everything she owned, he was in charge of it. And the eunuch at this time was in charge of all of this. He was high ranking. He would be considered like today, maybe secretary of the treasury or something like that. This eunuch had already been, it says there, he was coming back from Jerusalem where he had worshipped. That kind of caught my eye there. This told me that he had already went to the place of worship, and he had worshipped, and he was leaving. He left the same way he went in. We'll see in a few minutes where he was a lost man. He went into a worship and worshiped God and left lost. Probably didn't learn nothing. Our churches today are failing because we have so many churches today that had rather sing a song or say something that would make you feel better and not tell you about Jesus Christ and how you can have a great life in him today and a home in heaven too. We have a lot of churches that are failing today. A lot of people are going to church and worshiping God and leaving the same way that they went in. In verse 28 there, we see that the eunuch is on his way back. He is in his chariot, and he is reading from Isaiah, the prophet. Now, I don't believe the eunuch is sitting up there driving driving the whatever they drove, horses, on his chariot, you know, and a Bible in one hand reading. I don't think that was the case. This was an important man. He had probably guards himself. And there was probably more than one chariot. And he was in his chariot, and he was in there, and he was reading. I believe he had probably had a private chauffeur. But nevertheless, I don't think he is driving himself. See, he was an important man. He had servants. He had guards. And I believe he's sitting in this chariot, maybe by himself, out of the sun, and he's reading. And in verse 29, it says, the Spirit said to Philip. Now, Philip's out here in the desert, and he probably don't see the chariot yet. And probably the Spirit of God said, Philip, you'll just look over this way. There's where I want you to go. And Philip looks over that way, and he sees the chariot. And the Spirit of God says, I want you to go near, and I want you to join in on that chariot. Now, Philip doesn't know what's out there. He doesn't know who's in that chariot. But he does know that God told him to go and get in it. He does know that much. So, at this time now, the Holy Spirit is leading, as he must in any conversion. Remember the things that we said must take place? There's the Spirit of God. It's talking to Philip. And Philip is the man of God. Now, we're only missing one thing. The Word of God. And that's inside the chariot. So we got all three. So if something's going to happen now, the Ethiopian, he's reading the Word of God. And it, like us today, we like to read the Word of God. But sometimes we don't understand everything we read. And that was happening here. Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I'm glad that Jesus is all the way through the Old Testament too. And this is a proven fact that when he was reading, the eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And I think Philip says, scoot over and give me that Bible. And he said, and I'll show you Jesus right here. And he began to, at that time, to preach Jesus unto him. And we can see there in verse 30 now that Philip obeyed, and he ran to the chariot. And I can just see him hustling out to that chariot, you know, thinking, I don't know what I'm going to get when I get there, but God said go, and here I go. And I believe as he ran, he got near the chariot, and he began to hear something that he had heard before. He could hear the eunuch reading the Word of God out of the book of Isaiah. Now see, at this time, all three things are present: the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the man of God, and the person that needs to be saved. Therefore, God is already prepared the eunuch's heart. He's already prepared his heart. And a lot of times when we go to someone and talk to them, God has already prepared their heart, and all they're waiting on is for a man of God to come show them, or a woman of God to come show them how to be saved. But sometimes we'll say, I don't know what to say. Maybe they won't like what I say. Hey, we say a lot of things people don't like to hear. I say some things sometimes my wife don't want to hear. I learned to be quiet real fast, too. But when the Word of God tells us how to... Well, we know how to lead a person like Christ. Just tell what happened to you. I like to tell what happened to me. I think I'm going to give some of my brief testimony in Sunday school. And by the way, if you don't come to Sunday school, you need to come. Not because I'm the teacher, but you need to come. And I'll show you in a few minutes some more things here why you need to come. Now, Philip asked him, he says, do you understand there in verse 30? He says, do you understand what you're reading? And of course, we know the eunuch in verse 31. He says, how can I, except some man should guide me? How can I? You know, we learn the Bible when a pastor preaches up here. We learn the Bible in Bible study. We learn the Bible in Sunday school. Everywhere you go, anywhere in this building, you'll learn something about the Word of God. And we might be like the man and says, how can I understand it? We don't understand it because we're not faithful to God's house and being faithful to hearing what God is trying to tell us. See, God may have something direct he's going to tell you Sunday morning right here. And if we're not here, we're not going to hear it. So I want to be here. I don't want to miss one of the great blessings that God may be waiting. Maybe he is so anxious, and I'm just saying this from a human standpoint. I think God is so anxious, he said, I can't wait till Sunday morning. I got something for that person right there, and I just can't wait. I can't wait. And come in Sunday morning, God says, just got to wait another week. I tell you what, I'm going to give it to him, her. You know, now that's from the human side standpoint, the way I see it. But I think God has some things for us sometimes that we have missed because we have missed. Now, Philip's in the chariot and he's in the place where the scriptures where he was reading this in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 and 8. And it was talking about, he said, it was led as a sheep to slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. That's describing the Lord Jesus Christ when he was going to the cross of Calvary. That's describing here. And then and we can see that as it goes on down, the eunuch asked Philip, he says, I pray of thee, who does this man speak of? Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking of somebody else? He didn't know for sure. And Philip said that it was not of another man. It's of Jesus. And in verse 35 there, Philip opened his mouth, and at the same place where the eunuch was reading, Philip took the Bible and preached unto him Jesus from the Old Testament. Preached to him Jesus. Philip knew Isaiah was not talking about himself at this time, that he was talking about Jesus. Now, and he was begin to tell him how that the Old Testament, the prophecy that was there, was foretelling that Jesus Christ was going to be born into this world one day, and that he was going to be put on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins, and that we could be saved through him. And the eunuch heard all of this, and it says, and he believed, and he was saved at that time. And the Spirit of God at this time used the man of God who delivered the word of God to produce a son of God, and the eunuch was saved. Now, look what else is going to happen. Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch saw and said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the church to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of God caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I believe he told him about Jesus, they drove for a while, and I think as they drove for a while, Philip was still teaching him the things of God. Otherwise, he wouldn't know anything about being baptized. So I think he taught him on the way. And he taught him it's by immersion. Because otherwise, if he said, well, we'll just sprinkle you tonight, old boy, and tuck his canteen and put a little water on and splash it in his face. But he didn't say that. He knew that he had to go under by immersion the way Philip was telling him. So as they was driving along, they see this water. And the eunuch hollered, hey, let's stop. There's some water right over there. He says, what's going to hinder you to baptize me? And some strange things happened at that time. Philip says, I'll baptize you if thou believest with all thy heart. He was checking his salvation. Now, why would he do that? He just led him to the Lord. When a preacher gets ready to baptize up here, he asks a person, first thing he says, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And maybe he led him to the Lord right here at the altar. But he asked that question again. Just like Philip did, see? Why did he do this? I believe it was because of what happened previous to that in Acts chapter 8 and around verse 13 when Simon, the sorcerer, came to Philip and heard the preaching and went up and said, I believe, and they baptized him. And then we see that where Simon, when Peter and John, I think it was, came and they was laying on of hands. And Simon went up and he said, hey, that power that you have there of laying on of hands, he says, let me buy that so I can have it. And they said that that's not a good thing what you did. And in verse 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me. Well, that don't work. If I commit a sin and I go to Brother Ken here and I say, Ken, I sin. Would you ask God to forgive me? Well, Ken said, won't do me no good to pray for you. And that's what they told him here. They told him, we can't pray for you. You have to do that part. And we never see that where he accepted the Lord after that. And so I think at this time, Philip was making sure that there was not a repeat of Simon again. And so he asked him. And it says at this time, we can see that where he baptized, and I'll be closing in about a minute, we can see that where it said they both went down into the water. You know, that tells me there was a little bit of water there if they both got in it. And we see that up here all the time. And that's why we baptize by immersion, because the Bible teaches it. And they both went down and he baptized him. And you know, when that eunuch was being baptized and when he was going in that chariot and he saw that water and he said, hey, stop. He had a testimony there with all these guards, with everybody else that was in the chariots, with everybody that was there. They are thinking, now what's going on? And he says, let's get in the water there. And Philip said, okay, I'll baptize you. And it was a great testimony that the eunuch had. And I believe on the way home, the revival started right there in that eunuch. And it didn't end when the caravan got there. I think it kept going. Because, see, God scattered the church there at that time to go out and to preach the gospel. And that's what they was doing. And it says in verse 39, it says, and they both came up out of the water. And then it says the Spirit of God at this time took away Philip. It says that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now see, Philip, he just baptized this guy. And then it says the Spirit of God took him away. Now I don't know where he walked or what he did. But you would think Philip would say, hey, you know, I baptized you. How about if I ride in your chariot to the next town? No, he said, I'll stay here in the desert. God has something else for me. I don't know what it is, but I'll wait on God's order, and I'll sit right here. And maybe he went walking in his wet pants and soaking shoes. I don't know. Or if God took him away miraculously, I don't know. But Philip was a man that was in tune with God, and when a man or a woman is in tune with God, you'll hear from God. He will speak to you. And when we start hearing from God, he will start using you in the things of his ministry. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Man, that God would ask you and me to do anything in His ministry. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being with us this night. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you have confidence in us to be able to let us work into your vineyard, to be able to work in the ministry. And Father, we just thank you so much that you use each one of us. And Father, I ask that you be with us tonight as we go home, that your will be accomplished in each one of our lives, and that we'll be found faithful in your house. And again, I ask that you'll watch over our pastor and our assistant pastor and the families while they're gone, and bring them back to us. Father, looking forward to this next Lord days. May your will be accomplished in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.